Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, if you or someone you know is looking for a hot tub right now, well, there's probably only one place to find one in Denver, and that is Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. They have two warehouses of hot tubs ready to go, ready to sell right now, 15 different models, truckloads coming in every month. And the reason why I'm saying that you could probably only get a hot tub at Hot Tub Outlet, the supply chains have broken down in the worst possible way. Hot tub industry, the car industry, the grill industry, because of aluminum and lumber. And Hot Tub Outlet, my friend Tracy was way ahead of the curve on this stuff. So you have to wait probably 6 months potentially to get a hot tub from someplace else. You can get one right now at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. Find them in Littleton again, or go to hottuboutletdenver.com. That's hottuboutletdenver.com right now. In the meantime, we have some breaking news coming from baseball. We told you probably about 15, 20 minutes ago, the New York Yankees have traded and are finalizing a deal for Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo. And this coming from John Heyman, who is a longtime writer in baseball. He works for the MLB Network. This is what he tweeted out. With the surprise Rizzo move, Yankees are now out on Trevor Story.
So the Yankees are out. The White Sox appear to be out with their deal as well. Yep.
And I'm sure the Rockies are fine with it because they have no idea what the hell they're doing and they don't know who to ask for. But Bill Schmidt, the longtime scouting guy, the longtime farm director, I think started before 1993. I think he started with the Rockies before 1993. That's how long this guy has been there. And I say jokingly, because I know when the Rockies came into the league, he'd be more than happy to have a supplemental pick right after the first round, because that's what he knows.
Joined the Rockies in 1999.
I know. I say it jokingly. He's been there way too long. And for an organization that has never won a division, how this guy can keep his job so long, knowing the farm system is so bad right now, I am beyond puzzled.
This is why I keep coming back to this. If you're Dick Monfort and you really wanted to have real change, you'd go outside the organization to people who are proven that they've been part of smarter organizations. I mean, if you just wanted to say, get me a couple of the top lieutenants from Tampa Bay, that would make some sense. That would make more sense than continuing to do what they have been doing, which is the same thing over and over and expecting some.
By the way, some more breaking news out of baseball. I think a lot of us thought that Max Scherzer was pretty much a done deal to the San Diego Padres. Not so fast. According to Ken Rosenthal of MLB Network, or I should say used to be, now he's with Fox and The Athletic, he is tweeting out, sources say other teams are still trying to top the Padres' offer for Scherzer. Nationals and Padres essentially have agreed on players in a trade. The situation may be complicated by Scherzer's ability to veto any trade and effectively choose his next club. And the Dodgers are still in the mix for Scherzer. With that, time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Okay, you and I talked about it at the top of the show, but we will obviously recap it because we're talking about the quarterback competition. It is a competition. I think you and I would both agree that Drew Locke, it's not that Teddy Bridgewater was great today. He was consistent, didn't make mistakes, and Drew Locke made mistakes. Poor throws, took sacks, had a difficult time making decisions. But in the end, he threw three touchdown passes from inside the 10-yard line. Certainly, though, not enough to make up for everything else that happened. I think we're starting. I don't know exactly what's going on in the walls at Dove Valley, but I think already Teddy Bridgewater is showing, and Drew Lock is showing the coaches what they've already known. That I think incrementally Bridgewater is going to start building daylight between him and Drew Lock, and it's going to be like Teddy Bridgewater is death by paper cuts. He doesn't do anything to gash you open where an artery is spraying all over the wall, but he slowly cuts you with his consistency, and Locke is anything but consistent.
And the thing is, when you have skill position players, the quality of the ones the Broncos have, the job is to get the ball to them and set them up. You've collected...
As the quarterback, you don't have to make the play. Yeah. Let them make the play.
And in particular, a short pass is okay if you lead the guy. You know, he led Tim Patrick on a play. There was one, I think another one of Teddy Bridgewater's really good plays is he's got Alexander Johnson bearing down on him. And even though Johnson is closing in and getting in his face, he kind of gets it around him and he gets it to Albert Ogwebunam in space 15 yards down the field, but he leads him. Yeah. Alberto is moving to the sideline and he gets it out in front. You couldn't have placed that any better. There was another play today where Teddy whizzed it around Draymond Jones's hand. Draymond did what he's supposed to. Guy's hand up, and Teddy just kind of flicked it around Draymond Jones, got the completion. So pressure isn't knocking him off kilter.
Even though
it's coming from, we're talking about pressure from first teamers in the secondary, and he's still making plays. And that's the other thing I think is key to note is who are they doing it with and against? And when you see Teddy under pressure from first teamers, still finding gaps in that coverage, that's a pretty good sign for him.
Listen, you know far more players on each roster than I do. And I'll be the first one to tell you that. But when I look at Fant, Ogwebunam, Hamler, and Judy, those guys just need the ball in their hands. And then let's see what happens. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
You look at Tim Patrick, when he catches the ball, generally speaking, it's not that he's not going to make
a play. It's a destination.
Cortland Sutton is more of a destination, I think, than a playmaker. He's a playmaker, but he's more of a destination.
Yeah, but Jerry Jeudy
okay.
after the catch.
So with
Noah
that,
Fant after the
now,
catch.
Give me a team in the league that has really good receiving core with tight ends and wide receivers.
Kansas City.
Okay. Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. Just get them the ball.
Mecole Hardman as well. Same type of guy.
Just get them the ball. Okay. And then what else?
You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of the backfield.
But remember, they
lost Sammy Watkins, so their depth is shy. Tampa Bay,
that's where I was going more.
Yes.
With Evans and Godwin and Gronkowski.
Scotty Miller.
Well, he's fast. Just ask him.
Yeah. And also, they're deep at tight end because they've got O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate.
But they have
Antonio Brown. I mean, they're loaded.
Brady can get you the ball pretty much wherever you want to.
Right.
Okay. But the question is, does he have the same type of playmakers that Bridgewater or Locke might have?
Yes. I mean, in terms of accumulating them all, Mike Evans is a playmaker.
Okay.
For example.
Right.
Chris Godwin has become a playmaker.
Right.
Even though Rob Gronkowski doesn't have the stretch the field ability anymore.
He's more of a destination these
days.
He's
become a destination, but he can still make a guy miss. O.J. Howard, if he's back in the lineup this year from the ACL, he was making plays before he got hurt last year. So,
you know what?
I have to go with Tampa Bay on the basis of experience.
Yeah.
Because all of those guys are proven, but you could see, if you kind of squint and look down, that the Broncos have some pieces there. And a guy that we haven't even brought into this conversation, who, if he can stay healthy, could be that type of playmaker, is KJ Hamler.
Right.
Who has had some nice catches the last couple of days.
I look at this quarterback battle like I look at a boxing match. Okay? Let's call it 12 rounds. Bridgewater is winning each round 10-9. And by the time he hit the 10th round, it's over. Unless Locke can knock him out. It's slowly he's winning. He's slowly winning this battle. And when you add it all up, and I think he's going to keep winning day after day after day. Locke's going to win a couple. He will win a couple of days because of his overall talent. He'll win because of his talent, not because Bridgewater played poorly. Bridgewater's going to continue to do what he's doing. Locke will win a couple of days because he makes some spectacular throws and everything will just come together for him. But overall, if this is a 12-round fight, I think that if it's a 12-round fight, Bridgewater wins 10 of the 12 rounds.
Well, a lot of people in the media...
And it's just going to add up. Yeah, a lot of people, before you know it, it looks lopsided on the scorecard.
A lot of people in the media felt that Drew Locke won yesterday, and I called it a push.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think people want Locke to win. Well, that's why they're saying
I called it a push because Drew had some high-level throws, but Teddy was more consistent.
Teddy had a high-level throw that his wide receiver dropped.
Right, yes. Drew had the two best throw completions of the day, but he also had the two worst throws of the day. And meanwhile, Teddy Bridgewater, the only pass that hit the ground was that deep ball.
Correct.
Where he did lead Tyree Cleveland, and he did give him a chance to get the ball. And this just kind of adds up. And I think I'll give my friend Ryan Konigsberg of DNVR credit for saying this afternoon, that you might look at the end of this every day and say, well, Drew does get the better of some days, but Teddy will be at a high enough level, a high enough floor, that when Drew has the day, it is kind of like a 10-9, but maybe there's going to be some days where Locke struggles mightily, and you're looking at kind of a 10-7 in boxing parlance, which really is what makes a difference.
Coming up after the break, we have some breaking news on Rockies pitcher John Gray. We will talk about that after the break. Rock and roll. My family is my top priority, but what happens if I'm not around anymore?
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. With that, we have some breaking news having to do with the Rockies. This coming from John Heyman, who works for the MLB Network. He is reporting the Rockies are still fielding interest for John Gray, who will be a free agent after this season. But in something of a surprise, they may end up keeping him and giving him the qualifying offer that is an option. With that, just found out that as far as what the offer would be after the season, the qualifying offer would probably be in the neighborhood of about $18 million. I'm texting right now with a Rockies insider, and he said he doesn't think anyone will give John Gray $18 million, meaning the Rockies will not receive compensation, and they will just pay John Gray $18 million. If it's $18 million for Trevor Story, and we expect it to be, then somebody will pick up Trevor Story, sign him to a long-term deal, and the Rockies will get compensation for him, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, but once again, looks like the Rockies are going to dither and maybe come up with nothing when they have a farm system that is badly in need of restocking. If you know, if they're going to start this rebuild, they need to start by restocking the farm and getting some better prospects in there.
I don't know exactly what you would necessarily get, honestly, for John Gray, but if you want to make Gray your third starter behind Freeland or Marquez, you could do a lot worse than that.
You could do a lot worse than that, but is it something that really helps you long term? If put it this way,
you're not going to get a ton for him.
The question the Rockies need to ask themselves in terms of deal or no deal, the first question is obviously, what do we think in terms of what we get back? And that requires knowing the quality of prospects and other farm systems. But the other thing that they need to sit down and they'd ask themselves this. Is this player going to be a part of our operation at a realistic point when we can contend again? And if not, they need to start collecting prospects and start and make deals and start restocking that farm system. Anything else is a joke.
Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
You know, sometimes when players talk to the media, they're always trying to, you know, hide their feelings. They don't want to tell you exactly what you think. And that is certainly understandable, but some refreshing candid comments from Melvin Gordon today. He talked about the competition that he is facing currently. Remember, he joined the Broncos last season. Philip Lindsay, fan favorite, Denver native on the team. And now he has to face Javonte Williams as competition, a guy the Broncos traded up to get in the second round.
You're always competing. You know, they're always bringing someone in here to take a job. So, you know, that's just the nature of the business. And you know, it is what it is. You know, they brought Javonte in here to be a dog, you know, and a dog amongst dogs. But you know, we're gonna come out here and we're gonna compete every day. I'm not really worried about that. I got too caught up in that last year with Phil. And you know what? It's not about that. You know, it's not about that at all. You know, when I'm coming out here, I'm thinking about what can I do to, you know, help make the team better. What can I do to make myself a better player? So that's what I'm gonna come out here and do, man.
You know what? I admired the candor, and Melvin Gordon has shown a lot of candor in his interviews this offseason.
Well, think about what he said. Yes. I'm not trying to pick a scab. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus.
But he did say he got caught up in the notion of competition with Philip Lindsay.
He also said the same thing when he was drunk, when he was pulled over by the police, and he said, I'm worried about my competition with Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
So that was the ultimate truth serum, but he said it again today.
Said on the record.
Again, good for him. Good for him. You know what? I expect him. Pat Shurmur uses him correctly.
Yeah.
And Pat Shurmur wants to make this a run first team to help out the defense, pass when needed, get some big plays. And it's funny, you were not at the press conference. Did you hear what Vic Fangio said though?
Well, in about what?
Did you listen to his presser?
I did, but what he said about
he was
what?
Talking specifically about going back and looking at the history dating back to 1980 on teams throwing the ball more than they run it. And he said, when I went back and crunched all those numbers, teams don't throw the ball as much now as you think they do comparatively to 1980 moving forward. With that, he said, you still have to run the ball in this league. And that's really important. And I think they are going to try and run the ball more with Gordon and Javonte Williams. And yes, it would be a waste not to throw the ball a lot to Jerry Jeudy and Hamler and Sutton and Fant. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But if Pat Shurmur can find a way to use Melvin Gordon the right way, him going into a contract year, I think he has a chance to have a very good season as long as he can hold on to the ball.
Exactly. And that was the problem early last year, but he overcame that. And fumbling issues were very unlike Melvin Gordon. And one of the things that made it hurt more was that usually a little under 50% of the fumbles that you lose are going to be lost and recovered by the other team.
Yeah.
Well, for Melvin Gordon, every fumble, every ball he put on the ground was recovered by the other team. Right. So it felt worse. It was more damaging. The law of averages says that's going to change a little bit. But the thing that has changed as far as points of emphasis is that you still have to run the ball to keep the opponent honest. But one of the things that happened, and it really, you know, you said Vic was asked about it back in 1980, right?
Well, he went, no, he wasn't. He went back to 1980. He went back to 1980 and looked at the stats and how much teams throw the ball more now. And he said it was like 4%. He said it was nominal. He said you still have to run the ball.
You still have to run the ball, but back in those days, it was, you saw more often with that teams would run the ball more than they throw the ball. I mean, like, just then they pass the ball. Pardon me. I mean, just looking back, kind of nominally at 1980, I can look and see off the top of my head half the league, at least, that ran the ball more than they threw. Right. Now the teams that run the ball more than they throw, they're exceptionally rare. That's the outlier. You're talking about like something that Pete Carroll wanted to do. The other thing we see more is shotgun, but you can run out of the shotgun if you do it properly. So the points of emphasis have changed. I may do some number crunching on this myself tonight because it feels like it's the percentages have changed more than that, but I do want to see where it is. I mean, Vic could be right. We may have gone from a league that was 53% run to 48% run.
Right.
But I think it may have altered over time a little bit more than that, because really we're kind of in an era where it's a lot of teams are about 60-40 pass to run.
Right, right. All right, coming up after the break, we've had a lot of breaking news today with the NBA draft being tonight, baseball trade deadline tomorrow, a lot of news coming out of there, specifically, directly and indirectly, things happening with the Rockies. Free agency has started in the NHL. We have some Avalanche news as well. We have a lot to go over. We've been kind of sprinkling it through the show today, and we are going to get to all of it. But here's your biggest tease. Is there a chance Bradley Beal comes to the Denver Nuggets now that his backcourt mate has been traded out of Washington, or is about to be? We'll have that answer next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dog surprise.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking to get wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, but wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Hot Tub Outlet. As other hot tub stores in town make you wait 12 weeks, get your new hot tub today at Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or go to HotTubOutletDenver.com.
Okay, quite possibly the biggest NBA news of the day. This just crossed Twitter through our friend Adrian Wojnarowski 16 minutes ago. Detroit, the team with the number one pick in the draft, is finalizing a trade to send our old friend Mason Plumlee in the 37th pick to Charlotte for the 57th pick.
Oh, man. You got me. I actually thought there was something big coming down.
I know you did, because that's why I set it up. But yes, we do have, believe it or not, we do have, it seems hard to believe, we do have some Aaron Rodgers news, if you can believe that. So I'm going to read this directly from Mike Florio at ProFootballTalk.com. The Packers made two concessions in the new deal to Aaron Rodgers. The new Rodgers contract both removes the 2023 season, which we already knew, and eliminates the team's ability to recover the $11.5 million in unearned bonus money in the event Rodgers retires or holds out in 2022. It's an important point, one that makes it significantly cheaper and cleaner for Rodgers to not simply huff and puff in 2022, but to blow Green Bay's house down. Thus, while he's under contract through 2022, all he has to do, if he so chooses, is to retire after the current season and wait to see whether the Packers trade or release him and lose no money.
He's not going to be a Packer in 2022.
Oh, God, no.
I mean...
God, no.
And yes, this is significant for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, because he's not going to lose any money now.
Right.
Right.
I mean...
So I kind of buried the lead. I started with our friend Mason Plumlee.
Right.
Good dude. Let's get back to Aaron Rodgers.
Look, it's not worth talking about the possibility of Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos next year right now because it is training camp. This year it is about Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. But if you were to see odds on, say, FanDuel or any of the other sites, if they put odds up on Aaron Rodgers, if he plays for another team in 2022, where would he go?
Right.
Even though there will be other teams in the mix, the Denver Broncos are still going to be the clear and prohibitive favorite.
Let's make that clear. Let's get into the other news of the day. Stuff from the NBA and stuff from Major League Baseball. Where would you like to start?
Shall we start with the Yankees being out of the Trevor Story conversation?
Yes. Okay, so we will start with baseball. The Yankees have made a deal for Anthony Rizzo, yep. Cubs first baseman. And according to multiple reports, the Yankees are now out on acquiring Trevor Story. I've seen some reports that maybe the Mets might be interested, but the teams are dwindling who might have interest in Trevor Story. If Story is not traded in the next 20-plus hours, the Rockies will give him a qualifying offer for in the neighborhood of about $18 million. Some team will give him that, I am sure of it, probably a long-term deal, and the Rockies will wind up getting a supplemental pick after the first round, which is probably something they have wanted all along, which is sad and pathetic. But I digress. As for John Gray, according to another report, John Heyman, the Rockies are considering not trading John Gray, again, giving him a qualifying offer that might be in the neighborhood of about $18 million. I just talked to a source who is very close with the Rockies, and he doesn't expect any team to give John Gray $18 million. So it looks like John Gray would be back for at least one more season with that qualifying offer. And I'll be very honest with you, with the way he has pitched this season, you could do a lot worse than John Gray is your number three starter.
Perfectly cromulent.
Absolutely.
Starter.
Absolutely. Totally worth it. Totally worth keeping him around for his ERA, for the way he's pitched recently. He's a strikeout pitcher. He pitches pretty well at Coors Field. He's your number three guy, $18 million. Yeah, that's a lot for the Rockies. That's not what they're paying Marquez. That's not what they're paying Freeland. I understand that. But for a guy who does what he does and pitches pretty well at home, $18 million for John Gray, that's, I don't want to call it a bargain, but that's still a pretty good deal.
I mean, the Rockies aren't contending, but if they're going to be respectable, it's going to be on the... It's going to be on the back of this rotation, just like how the fact that they've played decent ball now. I mean, it's not great, but it's basically 500 ball now for the last 2 to 3 months.
Right.
It's mostly because of the rotation delivering night after night.
Okay, with that, news out of the NBA. The Lakers and the Wizards are close to a deal where Russell Westbrook, future Hall of Famer, a guy who has averaged a triple-double in 4 out of the last 5 seasons, would go from the Wizards to the Lakers to pair up with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, giving them one hell of a three-headed monster. But to me, the bigger news coming out of this, there are now 2 reports. The one that I'm talking about now is coming from Shams. Everybody calls him Shams.
Shams.
Okay. The original report was from Marcus Thompson, who writes for The Athletic. He reported that Bradley Beal has no interest in leaving the Wizards, and now Shams is saying Bradley Beal has no interest in leaving the Wizards, meaning if the Nuggets had any interest in trading for Bradley Beal with Jamal Murray out for the majority of this season and probably not going to be overly effective when he comes back. Beal is out of the equation for the Nuggets to wind up picking him up. I expect the Nuggets to go after a shooting guard tonight. I'm not even so sure that Tim Conley would want to trade MPJ or Jamal Murray for Beal anyway, because he loves his young players, not to mention Bradley Beal is going to be a free agent after this upcoming season, and he would want a max deal.
And there are some rumblings the Nuggets have thought about trading up, and if they do trade up, if they can, it's going to take a bold offer, but if they are going to trade up, you get in the back end of the lottery. Maybe you're talking about a guy like Davion Mitchell, the sharpshooter from Baylor, who could fit that shooting guard type of role.
You want him or Quentin Grimes?
Man, I'm a little more partial to Mitchell.
Why?
Big, high leverage, big game experience.
Oh, you mean Grimes, who played in the national championship game, hasn't been there?
Mitchell did too.
He's been in high leverage games. Oh, you're referring to my guy who hasn't been, who just played for the national title? Yeah. Him?
One guy played, one guy won.
They need a
shooting guard. I think Mitchell's a better fit.
The question is, they need a guy who can perform right away, which is kind of hard to do, and that's not the way Tim Conley has drafted. He drafts guys who are about a year away. He knows he can sit them on the shelf like a cup of noodles and then just add water, pop in the microwave, and when he needs them, he has his lunch or dinner within a minute.
He does, but at the same time,
he needs somebody now.
It's a different circumstance, yes. Because if you fancy yourself a contender,
yep.
This is where you're not thinking about a year or two down the line. You are thinking, who can help us immediately? Right. If they believe that they're in a window, they need to find somebody who can step in and give them quality minutes. And again, they need somebody. They need another shooter, especially with Jamal Murray out.
We have some more breaking news of the NFL. This coming out of Pittsburgh Steelers safety Minka Fitzpatrick. He has taken issue with his initial Madden rating. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
Eric, you mentioned boxing quite a few times throughout the show today. We've got some news on boxing. We'll talk about what former heavyweight champ is getting back in the ring and against who.
No, please.
Also.
Oh, I can't. Please.
Also.
Oh, gosh, really?
The Rockies are headed to San Diego tonight, and they've won two games so far on this road trip. So while they haven't won a lot, they've at least won. That's coming up next right here.
Is that
on
why you're playing this song? Because they're going to San Diego?
No.
You know the name of the song.
I do. I picked it.
See, you should have just said yes, so it makes it sound like you're a brilliant producer. I just gave you a layup.
I usually do take credit, and this just wasn't one of the times I felt like doing it.
You're so...
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. Can you
tell me? Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
just in case you missed it, Eric, you've been talking about how you're a fan of boxing, and I'm guessing by your reaction in the last segment that you are not a fan, however, of this story about celebrity boxing. I'm guessing you knew where I was going with
it. I did.
Based on your reaction?
No, I didn't know. Well, you said a former fighter is coming back.
Yes.
I'm very hesitant when I hear about a comeback.
Yes.
Who's doing it?
It is former heavyweight champ Riddick Bowe.
Oh,
and he will be fighting former NBA player Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom beat up on Aaron Carter, who's quite a bit smaller than him, a couple months ago. The fight is set for October 2nd in Miami. Nice little celebrity boxing match. Are there any former Denver athletes who you would like to see in the ring, or are you not a fan of celebrity boxing at all?
When you said somebody was coming back, I thought you meant it was legit.
Riddick Bowe is 53 years old.
Riddick Bowe is coming back to fight a legitimate heavyweight. Celebrity boxing, I don't care about that. If you want to do that, knock yourself out. I thought you meant it was like legit,
like Mike Tyson is coming back out of retirement to fight somebody and bite somebody's ear off.
That's what I thought you meant.
Wow, I mean,
who would I like to see in the ring?
Yeah.
We already had one in Denver, Lyle Alzado.
Yeah,
many years
Muhammad
ago.
Muhammad Ali in 1979 took a financial bath,
yeah,
if I recall correctly, and then was traded to the Browns shortly thereafter. I mean, like, kind of recent Denver athletes. I mean, I'd like to see Derek Wolfe in a fight.
I'd like to see Derek Wolfe get in the ring with Todd Bertuzzi.
Ooh.
That's what I would like to see. With Steve Moore at ringside.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see.
That might be the end of Todd Bertuzzi.
Although, as much as I would like Derek Wolfe, and he's got a bit of crazy, I'm not sure I wouldn't rather have Aqib Talib in the ring. Because that's a whole different level of crazy.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, like, Aqib's not going to be able to kind of have the same kind of haymaker.
If it's like no holds barred, anything
the
goes.
Derek Wolfe can.
I'll go with the crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But Derek Wolfe.
If anyone's got a chain, that thing's coming off.
No question. Or if there's a gun to be pulled, unfortunately, Aqib would probably shoot himself.
Easy.
Who do I shoot? Me?
Easy.
Or do I shoot Bertuzzi?
Dude.
Whoops! Got it. My own foot again.
Let it go, man. Let it go. It's 5 years. Let's move on.
Is this a sore spot with you?
He paid the price by not getting you to the White House the next day for what happened that night. Let's just move on.
Okay,
move on from that. He's a broadcaster now. He's post playing career, and probably someday he's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
No question.
Just in case you miss it, Rockies at Padres this evening at 8:10 Mountain Time. The Rockies have taken a game off both the Dodgers and the Angels so far on their SoCal road trip. And the season series with the Padres tied at 6 games apiece. So tonight on the mound, it'll be Kyle Freeland versus Joe Musgrave. The total is 8 runs, and the Rockies have gone over the run total in each of their last 3 games. You expect the bats to stay hot tonight as they head to Slam Diego.
Well, it's Slam Diego because they've had some grand slams, but it's also historically a place where the humidity is going to hold and the breeze tends to hold down offense. It's a pitcher's park, historically speaking. So even though it's been a nice little surge for the Rockies this week offensively, I'm taking the under.
I'll go with the under as well. And it is stunning that the Rockies and Padres have split 12 games for as good as the Padres are.
Very surprising. Just in case you missed it, last night's win over the Rockies put the Angels just 1 game over 500. Mike Trout, some might say the face of baseball, has been out since mid-May. If Trout were healthy, how much closer do you think the Angels might be to the first place Astros in the AL West? They're currently 11 games back.
I don't think that much closer. Maybe call it 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think what
meaning they'd pick up five games. Now they're still 6 out.
They'd be tied with the A's for the second wild card.
Yeah,
that's where I think they would be.
Right,
and it would certainly be. And you wonder if they were tied with the A's for that second wild card, it would mean that the Yankees would basically have to leapfrog the Angels, Mariners and A's to get that wild card spot. Would the Yankees have been as aggressive at the deadline, knowing that they would have to get past three teams to get in the playoffs, whereas the way it is, the Yankees only have to get past the Mariners and the A's to get that spot? Something to consider.
Just in case you missed it, the Summer Olympics still going on in Tokyo, albeit without fans. The U.S. leads all of the countries participating in medal count with 38 total medals. However, they are behind both China and Japan in gold medals. They only have 14, China and Japan with 15 apiece. Has there been any storyline from this Olympics that you guys have yet to talk about this week? I know you talked a lot about the Simone Biles stuff and a lot about Katie Ledecky. The U.S. also had their handy win over Iran, which may help get their confidence back. Is there anything you're looking forward to coming up in the next couple days here, or anything you haven't talked about yet that you would like to shine some light on?
We'll get in the track and field next week, and that's a big spot for the U.S. Also, of course, we talked about Simone Biles, but also I think you'd be remiss to not mention Sunisa Lee winning the gold in the all-around early this morning in the Olympics, just showing the depth of that the U.S., even though they ain't get the gold medal in a team, still as deep as there is in gymnastics on a world stage.
I would like to see you for DNVR breakdown skateboarding, because you probably could and would.
That'd have to be somebody else, because I'm not an expert. However,
You're not, but you could find a way to be an expert. You would find a way to crunch some numbers to have an opinion.
Skateboarding, though, it doesn't really appeal to me. I enjoy, late in the evenings when I'm working, I enjoy watching water polo and team handball.
Is that right?
I find myself watching those matches every night now.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, the U.S. has a terrific women's water polo team, has run a little spot of bother lately.
That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed, we've had some hail over the last 6 to 7 weeks, and you know what? It's supposed to storm this weekend. We could get some more hail, and if we do and your roof gets damaged, my suggestion is this. Go with Masterpiece Roofing, as they were recently voted Denver's best roofing company. Call for a free roof inspection today to see how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Let Masterpiece turn your house into a masterpiece. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Danny, what do we have coming up NBA-wise on our station?
Tonight we have the NBA Draft Show. It'll be live, hosted by Anilo Pirro, the host of the Denver Sports Betting Show. And also he's going to have with him Chase and Ased, who have been featured on that show many times. Chase Howell might be splitting his attention with the Gold Cup a little bit. That's also going on tonight. But that's coming up next. We're probably going to kick that off right around 6:30, and we will run through the entire first round of the NBA draft. We're expecting to have Doug Ottewell join us, Ryan Blackburn, and Jeff Morton. So we'll have a lot of great content focused on the NBA draft coming up, and we'll get to see live who the Nuggets take at 26.
Yeah, I've heard of all.
Or if they trade up.
I've heard of all those guys that are coming on the show. They're all really good. But refresh my memory. Who's Anilo again?
Anilo is one of the betting experts here at Mile High Sports, and he does things, all kinds of things behind the scenes for social media, for the website, and he's just really a jack of all trades around here. He's slid into a lot of the responsibilities Ronnie had.
Never heard of him.
Great guy.
Can't wait to meet him. Make it the best possible night you can.